This is the Children's Home Hour, originating in Bristol, Tennessee. This is Brother Mike Nixon. I'd like to welcome you to the broadcast today. Do thank you for joining us and counting it a privilege of ours to come into your place of listening. We trust the broadcast to be a blessing to you. I'd like to begin it with a word of prayer, so if you could, pray with us. Fathers, we bow before you. We thank you for this day you've given us. Thank you for the opportunity to be here on the radio with the listeners. I pray, Father, that you'd bless each and every one that's joined us. I pray, Father, you'd keep your hand upon the Children's Home mission work, each and everything, Lord God, that you've led us in. We're looking for thy guidance. We're asking you today, Lord, to just have your will and your way in each and everything. Lord, we give you the glory and honor. Just do your name, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Brethren, let me make just a few quick announcements. We'd love to ask you to continue to pray for us, pray for our children's homes, pray for the mission work in all the foreign fields, Romania, Bulgaria, Ukraine, especially right now as we just come through the time of the year that we try to raise the money for the flour and oil and the feeding of the churches. And in Bulgaria, they're beginning to start that work. Most time they begin it around the 1st of February. And probably as you hear this, they've already began. But we want to thank you for everything that you've done. The Lord done it again. He sent the money in to take care of them. And we're greatly appreciative of that. and we don't take it lightly. And we want to thank you for the prayers and financial support, and just give God the glory for everything that's done. Pray that it be used for the edifying and uplifting of His kingdom. Souls would be saved and the hungry fed, and folks would just be encouraged with the hand of God. And we're greatly appreciative of it. And I want to thank you one more time. And I do want to ask you to write us this week, if you would. Write us at Tri-State Baptist Children's Home, Post Office Box 888, Bristol, Tennessee 37621, or at Charity Baptist Mission, Post Office Box 692, Bristol, Tennessee 37621. And at this time, we're going to go to the auditorium of the Brookside Baptist Church. We trust it'll be a blessing.
Amen. All right. I want you to turn with me into Peter, 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2 from my text, and then I'm going to go from there. Brother Charles Lewis was here the other night and preached on the stones over in Joshua. And he said those stones are down in Jordan. They couldn't do a thing about it. They couldn't get out. The children of Israel come by and got them out, took them on, put them up on the bank. I said, if they could talk, this is what they'd say. Then I got to thinking, well, I know some that can talk. So I'm going to talk to them that can talk. Now, I just want to ask them a few questions today while we're preaching. The Bible said in chapter 2 and of 1 Peter, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and all hypocrisy and envy and all evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that they may grow thereby. If so be that you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom cometh as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed by men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices. And I want you to underline that. I mean, you're not to offer up no fleshly, carnal sacrifice to God. He don't want that. He wants them spiritual sacrifices. And the Bible says you're built up for that, to acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Now, I want to just talk to you for a moment. I mean, maybe an hour or however long. Now, these stones that the brother said couldn't talk, and they couldn't, but it got me to thinking about the ones that could. So I'm going to talk to some of these brethren that can talk. Living stones, lively stones. I mean, and they're still living, bless God. I mean, they're built up and they're still living. I want to talk to Peter first. I want to say, Peter, I want to ask you something. What happened to you that day you were down there fishing? What happened? Well, the Lord came by. I mean, and He said, follow me. And I just had an urge to do it. Dropped everything I had and took off with him. I mean, over in Matthew, he said, I just had to go. I don't know what it was come by. Can't explain what it was. But when he came by, me and my brothers was fishing down there, and I knew what was happening to you. I done the same thing Peter did. I just got up, left my nets, and followed Jesus. Oh, you said you did. No, sir. I'm glad I did. Peter said, I wasn't so hot when I was following the Lord. I denied him. I cursed and I swore and I was all messed up. But one day I was sitting in the upper room and the Holy Ghost came down there where I was. And I mean, filled the house where I was sitting. And buddy, I want to tell you something after that. It didn't matter what they said about me or anything else. I'd stand up for Jesus. He said, you know, after I got filled with the Spirit of God, I just got up and it didn't matter what they wanted to do. I mean, I just got up and preached. I mean, I went the Holy Ghost come, we all acted drunk. But said we wasn't drunk, and I got up and explained that to them on the day of Pentecost. I said, they're not drunk as you suppose, but the ninth hour of the day, the third hour of the day, but said, I want to tell you something, son. I mean, when that Holy Ghost came on me, I preached like I never had preached before, and I preached to them Jesus, and I had 3,000 souls got saved that day. And they didn't get saved like they're getting saved in this day. I mean, Peter, how did they do it? Well, the Holy Ghost got a hold of them. I mean, I didn't have anything to do with it. I didn't ask them about it if they believed. I just preached and they got saved. By the power of God. Well, I see James is here in this chapter. James and John. Well, did you fellas help? Yes, sir. We was fishing. Had about the same thing happen to us. I mean, we was out there, and we was fishing, and our brother, James, John, there's James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in a ship with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called them. We were getting ready to go out again. Now, I don't know why he didn't call my father, but he didn't call him. He called us, me and John, and we went out with him, thank God. And you know what? I've enjoyed the trip. I mean, I enjoyed him taking us up on the mountain. I mean, he had old Peter and me and James and John. All of us went up there on the mountain as a transfiguration. And we saw some things up there because we got into glory. Well, I mean, you reckon we could still get it? Yes, sir. It's just as much available for you today in 1993 as it was 2,000 years ago for us. I mean, you can have it. Well, I appreciate that. I want to go on and talk to some of these other fellas. I want to run over there and talk to that woman down there at the well. I mean, over there in the book of John, chapter 4. There's a woman at the well, married 5 men. And the one that she's living with now is not married to him, and the law wouldn't allow her to. And she's got a man living with him, and oh, it's kind of a pitiful situation. She's a Samaritan, a half Jew, half breed. But anyhow, I mean, she got married to this fella, to all these fellas, and she comes up on a man. Now, I want you to talk to me, honey, about that man. Well, I never seen nobody like him. I mean, I come to the well, and he's a sitting on that well of Jacob's. And I didn't know who he was, never had seen him before, but he's the strangest looking man I ever looked at. I mean, he looks strange, and he talks strange. And I come to get water, and he asked me for a drink. I said, well, I'm a Samaritan, you're a Jew. We don't have any dealings. He said, yeah, no. But he said, if you knew who I was, you'd ask me, and I'd give you wells of water. I spring it up into everlasting life. And he said, he give me this well. I went back to town with a well. I said, come and see a man that's told me all things that I've ever done. Well, honey, I appreciate that. Well, I want to talk to this other lady over here. I see this lady standing over here. I mean, how did you get to Jesus? Well, do you know it's strange how I got to him? Bunch of Pharisees brought me to Jesus. You mean Pharisees does stuff like that? Sure they do. I mean, these did. They caught me in the act of adultery, and they brought me to Jesus. I mean, they just knew that I was going to be put under. Honey, they knew I was going to be stoned, and they brought me to Jesus. But you know what? When he got through with me, they was all gone, and I was all set free, and he told me to sin no more. I mean, you tell me, woman, that you was caught in the very act, and those religious Pharisees brought you? Yes, sir. Far as I know, that's the only ones they ever brought to Jesus. Ain't that good? I mean, I don't care how you bring them. I don't care which way you bring them. I don't care what you catch them in, bring them to Jesus. He'll fix them up. You'll bring them to Jesus. He'll take care of it. Well, I mean, listen. But I mean, you was caught in the very act. Yes, sir. And them Pharisees caught me, brought me. And somebody, well, what did they write in the sand? I don't know. I mean, I wasn't looking at the writing. I had my head bowed. I was ashamed. I was in a mess. But somebody said to me, now I'm not talking to the woman now, but I'm telling you what somebody else told me. I believe it was an Indian preacher told me that what they was writing in the sand that day, there's a writing. He wrote down, Jesus wrote twice in the sand. First time they wrote their names. And the second time he bowed down and wrote, he wrote sins. Their sins at the end of their name. Each one of them had a different one. And said they, every one got up and left. Well, I mean, do you mean to tell me, now you're the woman that was caught in the very act of adultery, you mean to tell me that those fellas left you standing there with Jesus? That's right. And he couldn't have left me with no greater man. He couldn't have left me with nobody that loved me any better. I mean, I've seen a lot of men. I've known a lot of men. But I met that man that day, and he said to me, he said, listen, neither do I condemn you. He said, where's your accusers? And she said, I don't know. They're all gone. I have none. He said, neither do I condemn you. Don't sin no more. I mean, this is talking stones I'm talking about. This is lively stones. This is a stone that got up and started talking, and she's still a talking. Glory to God, still a talking today. She said, I had sin. I was caught the very act, but I don't have none now. He said, neither do I condemn you. Just go sin no more. Go sin the more. That's right. But I got something inside of me that day. I got born again. And said, old John wrote over there and said, whosoever is born of God doeth not commit sin. For his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot. And so he said, Just don't go on out there and don't sin no more. And she said, I ain't never been in that mess again. She said, inwardly, I'm as clean as a hound's tooth. Outwardly, I might not be so hot. You say, where is that woman? She's in heaven. You ought to talk to her. I mean, read about it. If Jesus don't condemn her, she can't get condemned. Because the Bible said in the book of Romans, he's the only one that can condemn you. Boy, I bet them Pharisees are screwed up that day. Bet they went back home and said, you better not take nobody to him. I bet them Pharisees, I'd like to talk to them a little bit and see what they got to say. He said, don't take him to Jesus. If you've got anybody in sin, you better get somebody else to stone him. Don't take him to Jesus, because he's got so much love and compassion. I mean, he's such a tender-hearted person. He couldn't throw a pebble at a chigger. I mean, that fella just can't do it. I mean, that man Jesus you're talking about, why, he loves everybody. Why, yeah, he does. Well, I mean, but I heard about old John talking about him. I loving the world so good. And I heard that Jesus said that he loved the world and his father loved the world so good that he sent Jesus to die. I heard about, well, don't take him over there. He's full of love, he's full of grace, and he's full of mercy. Well, I want to talk to another over there. There's a fellow down there at the pool. I'd like to talk to that stone a little while. He's a dead stone laying there at the pool. Can't get in. But I mean, he's going to be made alive in a few minutes. I see this fella come by. And he's laying there. And this man by the name of Jesus comes by. And here that man is laying there at that pool. And he said, would you be made whole? Said, yeah, if I get somebody put me in the water. But said, every time that water gets troubled, somebody gets ahead of me. Because there ain't nobody here to help me. Well, he said, I'm here. And I ain't going to put you in the water. I'm just going to tell you to get up and walk. Boy, I mean, can you hear that man talking? I mean, here's a stone that said I was laying down there by the pool and it couldn't move. But there's a man come by and said, live. And I'm a living stone. I'm a lively stone. And you know why he saved me? To praise him. I got up so I could praise him. And I want to tell you, I'm happy today. I want to talk to that other fella sitting there at the gate, beautiful. Here goes two Baptist preachers. You say, how you know this Baptist is broke? Said, seven gold have I none. And just this year recently, that's the way they were. They didn't preach for money back when I was a young man. They preached for the glory of God. And they preached for souls. But here's a fella goes down there. And he said, these two fellas come by. And when I asked them for something, they said, we don't have any. But such as I have, give I thee. And said that fella Peter reached out there and got me by the hand. And there was something went through me. I don't know what. I've never felt nothing before like it.
But said my ankle bones got strength, and I jumped up and started leaping.
Amen.
Leaping.
Amen.
And a shouting and a praising God. And said, you know where I went? I went living to church. Well, I'd like to talk to that fella a little more about how comes you to go to church, son? Well, I got something in my ankle bones that strengthened me to go. I got something that made me want to go. I got something that I felt like I ought to go. And I seen them fellas going to church. They were going to pray, and I wanted to go with them. But said they walked and I leaped. I never had jumped before. But man, I'm a jumping now. Oh, you say, I don't believe in that.
Of course you don't. I know a lot of churches that says, we think we ought to have it. Why? The Lord's here. No. That ain't who's out in your church. I'm talking about you radio folks out there. I know who's in your church making you be quiet. It's that fella says, oh, somebody'll think. Oh, don't worry about that. They quit thinking a long time ago. They think for us up in Washington and up in wherever they make them TV programs and all that stuff. I mean, you don't have to think no more. Quit thinking. Quit thinking because you have quit thinking. If you was thinking while I'm preaching right now, you sitting right here, be a leaping and a praising God, because you were the same mess that fella was sitting down at the gate, beautiful, begging, didn't have nothing. Well, you say, I got a lot. You know, you ain't got nothing.
Amen.
Bible says you're poor and miserable and blind and naked and without God and all that kind of stuff. You sit there telling me you're beautiful. You've got everything. You're rich and increased in goods. I want to inform you, you don't have anything. If you don't got him, you don't have the gold tied in the fire. If you don't have white raiment, if you don't have some eyesight, you don't have nothing. That's enough to make you leap, ain't it?
Amen.
If you ever found out how much you got in Jesus,
amen,
keep some of the rest of you leaping.
Amen.
I want to talk to that blind man. See him sitting over there?
Yeah.
Jesus passing by.
Mm.
He said, oh, son of David, have mercy on me.
Amen.
I'll bring him over here. And they brought him to Jesus. Son, he got his eyesight.
Yeah.
Now, he's been born from his mother's womb. And then somebody said, well, who sinned to cause him to be blind? Well, bless God, we'd all be blind if that was the case.
Amen.
There wouldn't nobody be born, because the Bible said we're all born in sin and all shaped in iniquity. And in sin did a mother conceive us, and it came forth from a mother's womb, speaking lies. Every one of you'd be stone blind.
Amen.
Well, who sinned? As Pharisees wanting to know about that.
Amen.
And they still wanting to know about it.
Amen.
And I want you to listen. Don't you turn that radio off if you're listening to me. I want to talk to you Pharisees.
Amen.
Bless God, let me tell you something. Jesus come to open your eyes.
Amen.
And he didn't blind you to start with.
Amen.
And it wasn't your sins that blinded you. It wasn't your mommy's sins that blinded you. It was Adam's, if anybody sinned. Pack it on him. That's who done it. We wouldn't have had no blind people if it hadn't been for Adam. We wouldn't have had no sick people if it hadn't been for Adam and Eve. We wouldn't have had nobody out of the garden. He'd still been in there and you wouldn't have been here. But all this. But you see, that blind man said, I don't know. They went and asked his mom. He said, is this your boy? Yeah. Well, how did he get his eyesight back? I don't know. Ask him. He's of age. Okay, go over to the boy and talk to him. How'd you get your eyesight? Have no idea. Only thing I know, I was blind and now I see. And the only thing I know is a man come by here and his name is Jesus. Now, whatever he done, I don't know how he done it. I can't explain how he done it, but bless God, there's one thing I am explaining to you. I was blind and I never seen, but the first one I seen when my eyesight come to me was Jesus. And the last thing I ever want to see, Jesus. Honey, I ought to tell you today, if you ever get saved, it'll be Jesus. And the first thing you blinded sinners will see is the Lord. And all you dead sinners that's going to get resurrected, I'm talking about, you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Are you sure that you don't know? Did he do some kind of trick on you? I have no idea if it's a trick or not, but it's a work. I'm still a seeing. I'm a feeling good. And you know what? I'd never seen my parents before. Didn't have no idea what they looked like. I never seen a blossom, a flower of no sort. I never seen a rose. But man, I seen the rose of Sharon. I saw the lily of the valley. Put it all in my eyes. I saw the great I am. I saw the King of Kings. And can you imagine a king coming down to a blind man like me and a stopping by where I was and picking me up and a giving me my eyesight? Well, there's some more folks. I don't have hardly time to go talk to them. But I would like to talk to the Apostle Paul over in the book of Acts. Hey, Paul. I mean, you're down there now. I want to talk to you a little bit. I mean, one time you was a persecuting the church and a killing the Christians, and you had papers in your pocket going down to Jerusalem. I mean, you was going down there to get rid of them. But I mean, you was on the Damascus Road, and you was heading out for trouble, buddy. I mean, you was hunting every one of them up to kill them. What happened to you? I can't tell you exactly what happened, but there's one thing that did happen. I heard a voice and I saw a light, and best God, I fell, and I was a trembling, and it's 3 days before I got my eyesight. But I tell you right now, I talked to the fella. I mean, I talked to him, and I didn't see him. It was a light. I couldn't see his face, but I could hear him. And I said, Lord, who is it? He said, I'm Jesus, whom thou persecutest. And he said, it's hard to kick against the prince. And he said, man, I went down there and asked. He laid hands on me, and my eyesight came back to me, and I got saved. And I said, I want to tell you something else. All these years I've been preaching, I've never felt nothing like this. I ain't enjoyed nothing better in my life. I mean, all my kin folks and friends and neighbors left me, and I got rejected, and I've been cast out. But said, I've been in the jailhouses. But you know what? He just as good down at jailhouse as he is up here. I mean, I went down there. Oh, you mean you's a fella? Yes, sir. I mean, old Barnabas one time was in jail, and we got down there and got to singing at midnight, and the jailer got saved. Well, let me talk to the jailer. What happened to you? I don't know, sir, but I was asleep in the bed, and I want to tell you right now, I heard a thundering and a shaking, and the door a flapping, and I've never heard nothing like it. And I got up and run out there, and the whole outfit was shook up, door standing wide open, and all them prisoners just standing there looking. They weren't nobody wanting to go nowhere, and Paul said, don't fear. Sir, just be quiet. Ain't nobody leaving. And said, I tell you, I washed his stripes. I took him in my house and fed him. I turned him loose. And I said, tell me what I must do to be saved. And he said, oh, Paul said, all you got to do is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I can't believe that. Well, that's the way it is. That's amazing to me, too. Yeah, but that's Paul said, that's all you got to do. That's all you got to do. Well, I've got a lot more I could talk to you about. Living stones. Build up a spiritual priesthood to offer spiritual sacrifices to God. Now, I could talk to you about some more of them. And one more I would like to talk to you about. That's John on the Isle of Patmos. John, I heard that day you was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. That's right. I heard a voice behind me. Really? Yeah. What happened to you, John? I fell as a dead man.
Well, I trust you've enjoyed the message this week. Once again, write us at Tri-State Baptist Children's Home, Post Office Box 888, Bristol, Tennessee 37621, or at Charity Baptist Mission, Post Office Box 692, Bristol, Tennessee 37621. And until next week, God bless you.